So I think God's speaking this morning, and he's saying, that's better, isn't it, in the middle? Hallelujah. You know, God is speaking today to each one of us. I don't know if you can tell that from what people have been saying this morning, but God is speaking to us very clearly, preparing us again for revival. Don't know if you noticed that in the last 3 weeks or more, God has been speaking about different things to prepare us for revival. He's been speaking to me personally, and I'm sure he's been speaking to each one of you. And today I think he wants to speak to us again through this message. So should we ask him to? Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you want to speak with us this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you'd open our ears and our eyes so that we can hear and see you clearly, to see and hear what you want to say to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this week I had a dream, and that dream was only probably the second or third prophetic dream I've ever had. Usually I have dreams that I completely forget. All right, but this time it was different. This time I had a dream of a lot of us sitting at the top of a sand dune, and the sea was quite far below. It was almost a cliff we were sitting on. And we were chatting and having fun together in unity. And I saw suddenly this massive, massive wave that was taller than us. Even though we were on this big peak, this big sand dune, this wave was enormous coming towards us. And so what do you do when you see that sort of thing? You freak out, don't you? You run. All of us got up and we ran away from this wave. Ran away from this wave, and it started to crash over us. Crash over us. Another wave came, even bigger than that one, and crashed over us and sent us all into different directions. Some people went in one direction towards the east. Some people further towards the north. Some people to the west. You know, I think that is God preparing us, speaking to us about revival, don't you? There's a wave of revival coming, Swift Wigglesworth tells us. The biggest wave that we've ever seen. The biggest wave that has ever been seen is coming. And we need to be ready for it. I wonder, are you ready? Because I don't think I am. How can we be ready? Well, I think it's already been said today. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus. And to be honest with you, I've heard that quite often. Just focus on God, focus on Jesus. But what does it actually mean? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for my walk as a Christian? Well, I believe God wants to speak to us and tell us that this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, please open them at Psalm 103. And we're going to have a look at what God wants us to focus on this morning. This is a psalm of David, King David, the same David who defeated Goliath, the same David who also fell into sin. This is that David. And you know, this psalm is significant because it lays out the gospel, really, the good news that Jesus brought quite a bit later on. So let's read it together. We're going to just read the first 5 verses. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Is that good news this morning? Is that something that you want to focus on today? It's quite clear, isn't it, that people have been struggling in this church. People have shared that they've had difficulties recently. Me too. You know, whenever I seem to go and do something for God, like run an alpha course or something like that, I seem to get attacked by the enemy. Do you? Whenever you start to do something and move out and do something for God, Satan comes and attacks you. And if we're not focused on God, if we're just focused on the wrong things, or if we're focused on the world, then that attack will keep us down for a long time. It will keep us from being effective for doing what God wants us to do. God wants us to focus on him today. You know, at the start of this psalm, David is actually talking to himself here. Can you see that? He's talking to himself. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. He's stirring up himself. He's speaking to his own soul to stir it up, to praise God. Praise God. You know, if we don't do that, if we don't speak to our inner person, if we don't speak to our flesh, it'll just be dead. It won't praise God on its own without us speaking to it and encouraging it to praise God. Was it hard to get up out of bed this morning and come here? Yeah, to be honest, it was. It's important that we do it, though, because if we don't, what's the alternative? And it's not just coming to church. Praising God is about living your life for him, giving him everything, because he wants to bless you and me. So the second verse says, forget not all his benefits. It's easy, isn't it, to get deceived, distracted, discouraged by things that you see in the world around you. If you watch the news, you see horrific things, people doing horrible things to each other. You see that evil is all around us. There's evil at the other side of the world, but there's also evil here, trying to attack every single person and sometimes winning. Let me tell you, recently, Stacy and I have been deceived by fear. I wonder if you have. We've been deceived by fear. Many of you know that Stacy is pregnant with our fourth child. Yay! Hopefully this is the last one. Yay! But it's wonderful news, that. Absolutely wonderful. But the enemy tried to steal that away from us, because week before last, Stacy had a massive bleed, an enormous bleed. Loads and loads of blood was lost. She was on her way to picking Georgia up, our eldest daughter, from school, and she had a massive flow of blood come out of her. It never happened before, but about 3 or 4 pints of blood she lost. They had to call an ambulance for her, and we had to be rushed to hospital. And you know what? If I'm honest with you, I thought, that's it. Would you? We'd have 3 other pregnancies. All of them had had no bleeding. This time, loads of blood. Do you think we thought, oh, that baby is gone? Yeah, we did. We thought that was it. We were gripped by fear. I wanted to pray and I tried to pray, but it was difficult. And to be honest with you, I don't think it was very effective, because I was just focused on this fear. I've been so deceived to focus on the negative that I couldn't think about the positive. I couldn't think about the possibility of this baby being alive. But praise God, it is alive. There's a little baby still in that tummy. God is with us. I've been discouraged recently through disappointment. You know, we're running this Alpha course, and you may have heard a few hundred times from the front here, we're praying for 100 guests. 100 guests. We're going to get 100 guests. And we got 18. Do you think I was a bit discouraged by that? Yeah, I was. Particularly after I'd ran a 10K and given it everything. I was discouraged by that. Satan wants to discourage us. He wants to deceive us and discourage us. I've been distracted recently. We're buying our first house. And it's awesome that we're buying our first house, but I tell you, I've been very worried about it, because there's so many things involved in that. You have solicitors. I've never been to a solicitor in my life. I don't understand what they do. It's to do with all legal things, which are very important. much more important than things I do at work, which is just talk about sport and sociology. You know, legal things are important, aren't they? I work focused upon these things. Financial things, trying to get a mortgage isn't easy. They're after your blood type and your bank statements and your shoe size and, you know, so many different things we had to provide them. And, you know, it totally distracted me. Oh, yeah, I've been deceived, discouraged, distracted recently. And I wonder if you have. Satan's always trying to do those things to us. He's always trying to steal away the truth. But we can't let him, brothers and sisters. If we focus on what God wants us to focus on, which is the things in this psalm, if we choose to focus on those in the midst of trouble, in the midst of all this deception and distraction and discouragement, then that's the only way we're going to get through. You know, Christians are meant to live in victory, aren't they? Doesn't feel like that always, does it? God wants us to live in victory, though. He wants us to stand firm in victory. You know, Paul realized this and wrote to the churches. Quite often he said, stand, stand firm. Let me read to you from Ephesians. You can go to Ephesians 6. You know the passage I'm going to read about the full armor of God, just quickly. So Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yeah, I could quite easily now go through each of those things, but I'm not going to. I want to talk to you about one of those things, and it's faith. Faith in God. What does that actually mean? Well, it means the things that are listed in this psalm that we read at the beginning. Those six things we're going to go through in a sec. But I just want to talk to you initially about standing firm. Standing firm. Not moving. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, stand firm, let nothing move you. When Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians, he's chained to a Roman soldier. So he's looking at this Roman soldier and looking at the armor that he's wearing as he's writing this letter. And he's thinking about Jesus, our ultimate warrior in heaven. And he's encouraging these churches to stand firm in this armor. And the biggest bit of that armor is what? What's the biggest bit? It's the shield of faith. If you stand behind one of those big Roman shields, all of your body is covered. You can peek out a little bit at the top, but all of your body is covered. Every one of the last bits that Paul has mentioned is covered by this shield of faith. Why is it the largest? Because it's about God. It's about relying on God. As Jenny has said already, relying on God. Relying on faith in God. You know, this Roman shield, Paul says quite rightly, was used to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, the Roman soldiers used to put leather around this big shield and cover it in water, so it would extinguish these flame-filled arrows that the enemies would shoot at them. Paul is saying those arrows are what our enemy sends. Those arrows are the things that I've listed, the deceptions, the distractions, the discouragements that are fired by the enemy. If we don't stand behind that shield of faith and focus on faith in God and rely on God, it's going to be very difficult. As we prepare for revival, as we're in this process of preparing for the biggest move of the Holy Spirit that the world has ever seen, it's important that we stay focused and rely on God. It's a choice, though, isn't it, to have faith? It's our choice. It's actually a gift, faith. I don't know if you know that. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. We can ask God for more faith because it's a gift. Do you need more faith this morning? Does anyone else apart from me need more faith? We can have it this morning. We can have it this morning. The writer of the Hebrews says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. You know, you can read the Bible in two ways. One way, you can read it as a book, the best-selling book of all time, and enjoy it and think, oh, it's a good book. Or you can read it and actually believe what it says and actually believe that in there are the promises of God for your life. The promises of the things that God wants to give you and bring you in your life here and in eternity. I wonder which way you read the Bible. I'd like to read it that second way, to be honest. I'd like to see what God wants me to see. I'd like to meet with God and understand him and know him more. Many Christians, you know, in the past, have given their lives because they were just so passionate about others reading the Bible. They were so consumed with the desire for other people to be able to read the Bible in their own language that they gave their lives for it. One of those people, one of my heroes, is a man called William Tyndale. Maybe you've heard of him. One of the leading Protestant reformers of the 16th century, a little bit after Martin Luther. But William Tyndale was significant in giving us the Bible that we have today. Let me tell you a little bit about his life quickly. He translated the Bible from the Hebrew, the Old Testament, and from the Greek, the New Testament. And it was illegal to do that at the time when he was living. Across Europe, it was illegal to do this, all right? The Roman Catholic Church made it illegal. The king or the queen of each country in Europe made it illegal until people started fighting against that. But at the time William Tyndale lived, it was legal. William Tyndale was arrested for doing that. Arrested in Antwerp in 1535, and he was jailed near Brussels for over a year in a castle called the Castle of Vilvoorde. He was in a dungeon. You know those films where you see those dungeons in castles? He was really in one of those. For over a year, he was in that dungeon, didn't see daylight for over a year. And then in 1536, he was brought out of that dungeon and tried for heresy and found guilty for heresy. And he was tied to a stake and strangled to death. And then his body was burnt at the stake. Why did he do that? Because he was so passionate about us knowing the promises of God that are in this Bible. The promises of God for our lives. It's important that we don't take our focus off these, isn't it? That God wants us to understand and know all his benefits, not forget them as we get distracted, deceived, discouraged. Don't forget them, brothers and sisters, is what God is saying this morning. Let's look at them quickly. God says from the third verse in this Psalm 103. He who forgives all your sins. That's good news, isn't it? Our sins are forgiven. The barrier between us and God has been removed by Jesus. Sin is no longer your master or my master. Since you've put your faith in Jesus, you've repented of your sins, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good news? That sin no longer controls you. You have a choice now whether to sin or not to sin, because you have the Holy Spirit in you who can keep you from sinning. That's good news to me. The fact that our sins have been removed by Jesus is what we should focus upon, isn't it? Sin no longer has its reign over us. There's another way, a different way, that Jesus opened up for us. And what about he who heals all your diseases? Well, that sounds pretty good as well. Should we focus upon that? Did anyone respond to that prophetic word from Mark this morning about being healed? I hope they did. I hope you did. I hope you're encouraged by that. You know, because we don't have to accept illness. We don't have to accept disease. Because there's another way. There's another way. You know, recently, as you know, many of you know, my son, Nathaniel, was having seizures. My son Nathaniel's been diagnosed with autism. He was diagnosed with all kinds of learning difficulties, diagnosed with seizures, epilepsy as well. And earlier this year, he was having all these seizures, and we were in and out of hospital, so quite often rushed to hospital, because he was having these long seizures that didn't stop. And out of compassion for Nathaniel and for us as a family, you guys decided to pray, decided to stand firm with us and pray. Thank you for doing that. We fasted and prayed on one particular day, on one of those Wednesday prayer meetings. We put up a picture of Nathaniel on the wall, on the projector, and prayed to God to heal him. Do you know what really encouraged me that morning when I was getting ready to go to that meeting? What really encouraged me was that I read this from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all those who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures. Huh? Do you think I woke up a little bit then when I read that? Do you think I thought Jesus was going to heal Nathaniel? Do you know what's happened? He did. Nathaniel has not had a seizure since that day. Praise God for that. He is the God who heals all our diseases. I'm convinced that if you believe that, if you're in pain or illness today, you can be healed from whatever Satan has decided to give you, if you believe in the promises of God. And what about redeems your life from the pit? Redeems means delivers, and the pit is the grave, is death. You know, we believe the opposite, don't we? We believe actually not in death, but in life. Jesus came to give us eternal life. But many Christians are unsure whether they have eternal life. Many are actually unsure. They don't know. You know, once I was going to post a letter and in a postbox, one of those red pillar boxes, and I posted it, I put it in to the letterbox, and I started to walk away. And then as I walked away, I thought, whoa, I haven't heard that sound. You know, sound you usually hear when you post something, of it hitting the other letters, or it hitting the empty tin. I didn't hear that. And so I thought, oh, that's weird, I better go back. And sure enough, that letter was half in and half out. So I had to make sure and push it in. And then I heard that sound. Then I heard that satisfying sound. Oh, my letter's gone in. That's good. Maybe that's like some of you here. You're not sure that you have the gift of eternal life. Well, let me tell you, God wants you to be sure today. He wants you to know that you have the gift of eternal life, that you are redeemed from death because Jesus has died for you. He wants you to know that. He wants you to believe that. What about crowns you with love and compassion? You know, elsewhere the Bible says, Paul says in his letter to the Romans, that we're co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with the King of Heaven. I don't know about what you think about that, but I think that makes us royalty. Don't you? If you're a Christian, you're a brother or a sister of Jesus the King. You're a co-heir with him. Is that good news? Yeah. Hallelujah. God's love, that agape love, that unconditional love, is talked about in the rest of this psalm. Most of the rest of this psalm is about God's love and compassion. And I encourage you to read that. 1 Corinthians 13 is about God's love and how different it is from our kind of love. That agape love that only God has. We can't really know the depths of it unless we read about it in God's word. I want to encourage you to read about God's love because he's crowned you with it. He satisfies your desires with good things. You know, when the Samaritan woman came to Jesus, what he gave her was satisfaction. She'd never have it before. She'd looked for it in the wrong places. Her desires were for worldly things, for sex and for men. God wants our desires to be fulfilled in him so that we don't need to look anywhere else, but only to him. And finally, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. Do you know, they used to believe when this was written, and Isaiah talks about this as well, that eagles, when they got to a particular age, near the end of their normal life, could go through a painful process of regenerating themselves, and it would give them another 20 or 30 years of life. People really used to believe that. And this is what these guys are talking about in the Bible. Just like people used to believe that the earth is flat, people used to believe all kinds of things. And this was one of them. The eagles could do that. So when it says renew your youth like eagles, that's what God can do for us. That's what God wants to do for you and I this morning. Should we stand? Should we stand and proclaim all this over our lives? Thank you, Jesus. I just want to encourage you this morning to put out your hands. Put out your hands to God as if you're going to just now, for the first time, receive a gift. God wants to give you all of these things right now. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd come right now and forgive all our sins, heal all our diseases, redeem our lives from the pit, crown us with love and compassion, and satisfy our desires with good things. Renew our youth like the eagles. Thank you, Jesus. We claim all of those promises in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.